What a great day it is to be here. Thank you so much, Andrew. You know, it's we forget sometimes how many people actually serve here. And we serve in all kinds of ways, amen? You know, we serve through singing and playing and giving out to folks that come in, and we praise God. But the simple act of bringing the pulpit up here for the pastor, sometimes we forget about that young man that does that. He's so faithful in that. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad to see you here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would, hold your Bibles up in the air all over the sanctuary, digital or printed format, amen, hallelujah. Please turn in the Word of God to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We'll be in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 as we continue our current series, This is Amazing Grace. Today's message is all about four gifts of grace. We could all use a little grace in our life, amen? Amen? You know, I was sharing in children's church this morning with the young folks in there that, you know, when you hear the word grace, what is the first thing that you think about? And of course, those little boys say, it's time to eat. Of course, that's what we think about, you know. And then I said, well, let me ask you this. When you say grace because it's time to eat, do you realize that you are getting a gift that you probably had nothing to do with? What part of this meal did you help cook? What part did you help to buy? You see, grace is unmerited favor. Amen? Yes. We all could use a little grace in our lives. And today's message is the four gifts of grace. You have your notes in front of you. I hope you take this opportunity to jot down a few of these notes. And you know, yesterday was such an act of grace by the people of Emmanuel Baptist Church that came and put together these boxes for the children that are overseas and the children that we have more boxes next door in our Hispanic service. And we are just looking forward. I can only imagine the look of that child in Honduras or Nicaragua or Ecuador or Africa or wherever around the world that this particular stack of boxes gets sent. I can only imagine the look on that child's face when they open that box and they see something they haven't had before. And then they ask, well, why? What did this come from? And they hear the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our series on grace, we've all been discussing that and how grace is unmerited favor. It's receiving something that we did not deserve. You may not know this, but in the 1600s, and for you children, no, that's not when I was born. In the 1600s, there was a preacher named John Newton. And I'm not sure if any of you have ever heard or read any of his sermons. He also wrote a lot of books on theology, but I don't think any of you have read any of the books that John Newton wrote. However, he also wrote a song. He wrote an amazing song. And I think every one of us have sung that song. We sang it this morning. As a matter of fact, we sang it right before Jamie sang her special music. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. You see, most people don't realize that John Newton, as a little boy, he had a very, very godly mother. And he had a wicked, evil father. And John Newton took after his father. He lived in the depth of sin and he got into the slave trade. He was a drunkard, he was a liar, he was a cheat. But however, lest we think that those sins are somehow special or unique to him, all of us have been there, amen? All of us have been at that part in our lives where we have not been or done the things we should do. But in fact, you could not find anyone that was more sinful than John Newton. No one was more sinful than him. He was in the slave trade. He was a drunkard. He was so evil that he got locked up in the ship's brig. So evil and so drunk that they threw him overboard one time. And the way they got him back was by harpooning him through the side. And when they harpooned him through the side, they drug him back onto the ship. But eventually, some sailors gave him a book to read about Jesus. He read that book about Jesus as a joke. Okay, I'll read this thing for you guys. I'll read this book about the Lord Jesus that you're talking about. And after a while, it began to work on his heart. You see, you simply cannot hear about Jesus and not have your heart touched. Amen? And after a while, John Newton got saved. And I don't just mean saved. I mean saved. I mean down home saved. I'm talking preaching up and down the street saved. I'm talking Holy Ghost power saved. I'm talking down in the streets of Brooklyn saved. You know, Pastor, I've told this story many times, but Pastor Devine right now, he's taking care of Miss Anita this morning. She's going through more cancer treatments this morning. But Pastor Devine was a street guy in the streets of New York City. And Miss Anita got him saved. As he likes to say, once he met her, the next thing he knew, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ up and down the Bronx, bringing people to Christ. And so John Newton got saved through God's amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Have you ever really thought about those words? When he said that, he meant it, because grace is an incredible gift from God. Hallelujah. So there are four gifts of grace today that I want to show you. Just jot them down in your notes. You should have your bulletin when you came in. If you look on the back, you'll find a place to jot some notes. I've shared this before. Husbands, you should have your own notes. But if you're okay with the wife getting a word from the Lord for you in your life, then go ahead and have her take the notes for you as well. All right? But the first gift of grace that we see is that what grace brought. What grace brought, and what grace brought is salvation. What grace brought is salvation. Look at verse 11 in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to what? All men. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I've looked in my Greek New Testament. I've done the word search. I've done all the study on that word. And here's what that word all means in the New Testament Greek. Are you ready for this? It means all. The grace of God is for all men. The grace of God is for the billionaire and for the pauper. The grace of God has no respecter of color, race, or creed. The grace of God is no respecter of whether you're a goody two-shoes or you're someone like John Newton was. The grace of God is for the healthy and for the not well. The grace of God is for those that are firm and those that are infirm. The grace of God is for everyone. There is no one that is apart from the grace of God that brings salvation. So who can be saved? Everyone. It has been said that there is no hole so deep that the grace of God is not deeper still. It does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how long you've been apart from God. What matters is that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. What has grace brought? Grace has brought salvation. Listen, guys, and the only way that we can be saved is for grace to bring salvation to you. It's not the other way around. Grace must bring salvation to you. So why do we need to be saved? Why is that necessary? You may wonder, well, Pastor Larry, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good person. Why do we need to be saved? Turn in your Bibles over a few chapters to your left, a couple of books to your left, to Ephesians chapter 2. You guys know by now that I quote this passage quite often, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. If you're there, please say amen. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. So Ephesians chapter 2 is the parallel verse on grace to what we're reading in Titus. I've spoken about it many times, and I will continue doing so. I will speak on Ephesians 2 as often as I speak on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, which says, what is the gospel? This is the gospel, and then it gives a definition of it, which I will do in a while. But look at Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 1. And you, he made alive. Who is the he? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quick question. Don't answer. Keep your answers to yourself. What is the problem with man? Is man terribly sick and needs healing? Not according to verse 2 of chapter 2, verse 1. Not according to that. And you he made alive who were what? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. The answer is that no, man is dead, not sick, and man needs life. It's not that there is something wrong with us. It is that there is something drastically, dramatically, terribly wrong. And the thing that is wrong is called sin. Now, in churches all over America, churches all over the world these days, it's not real popular to talk about sin. I get it. I understand it. But Pastor, I came to church for an uplifting message today. I didn't come to hear how bad I was. Well, you're not here to hear how bad you are because you already are. I already am. We are here today to listen and to learn about how good God is. Amen. How grace-filled Almighty God is. What our problem is sin. We are separated from God by our sin. And it's not that there is something wrong with us. It's something's terribly wrong. Sin brings only death, friends. Sin brings only darkness. It brings sorrow. And if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen closely to me, the child of God, we're going to learn in just a moment, has been made alive. But if you are apart from Christ, then you are dead where you're sitting. If you're watching on the internet, you are dead without Christ. You may say to yourself, well, Pastor Larry, how could that be? I'm sitting here. I'm standing here. I'm listening to this. I'm living. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I'm right here, preacher. Well, you have the wrong idea about death. You see, death is not the separation of the soul from the body. Death is the separation of the soul from Almighty God. That is what death is. You don't have to be saved to have an eternal existence. Listen to me, guys. Look up here. You do not have to be saved to have an eternal existence. Meaning what? You will live forever, and you will have an eternal existence somewhere. Either in heaven or separated from God in eternal hellfire. You have an eternal soul. You have an eternal soul. Here's something for you to reflect on. Elvis is alive. The question is, where is he alive right now? You do have an everlasting existence, but you do not have everlasting life until you have Jesus Christ. You must receive Christ through the amazing, amazing grace of God. Do you remember the song Amazing Grace we just sang a moment ago? Say amen.
Amen.
Miss Jamie, would you stand up, please? This is our worship leader. She's going to sing without a microphone. And I dropped this on her this morning. Would you sing the first verse of Amazing Grace for us? Amen. Stay standing, Miss Jamie.
Amen.
See, I'm not going to make you sing by yourself. I think that sounded wonderful, don't you?
Amen.
But I think it's more wonderful if all of the redeemed of God sing along with her. Hallelujah. So if you know those words, Miss Jamie, I'm going to ask you to sing it one more time. Church, join in if you are part of the redeemed of God. Stand up and support Miss Jamie if you would, please. All over the sanctuary. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jamie?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Remain standing. Father God, I give you thanks for these children that are willing to stand and sing praises to your glorious name. I ask that you bless them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
See, I thought, Pastor Larry is not a normal guy. Please take your seats. I think the redeemed of God should be known by that. Amen?
Amen.
I think we should be praising Almighty God. Listen, friends. The way to everlasting life is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus was asked by Thomas, well, how do we know the way there? What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ himself said in John chapter 10 verse 10, I have come that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly. Abundant life. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. If you're there, say amen. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. According to God's word right there, not only were we dead, but we were devilish as well. Aren't I an encouragement today? Who is the prince of the air? None other than Satan himself. Now listen to me. When we say the name Lord Jesus Christ, when a saint says that, I want you to know that every demon in Broward County trembles in his shoes. They must flee from your presence. Hallelujah. And so we were once in the grip, the grasp, the domain, the rule of Satan himself. Think about the Ten Commandments for just a moment. A lot of people think of it as a lot of thou shalt nots. What God is really saying is he's saying, this is my love letter to you. If you do these things, you will harm yourself. But is there anyone that could stand up in this sanctuary? Don't do it. It's a trap. Is there anyone that can stand up in this sanctuary and say, Pastor Larry, I have not broken all of God's commandments. It's a trap. Stay seated. You see, because we had that one time, and I answered, and a bunch of folks raised their hands, and they said, well, I've never murdered anyone. But in the Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus say? What did he say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21? He says, if you have anger in your heart, you have committed murder against your brother. If you have anger in your heart against your brother, you have committed murder. We are in that grasp. Listen, friends, we know we have disobeyed the laws of God. Amen. We know that, but there is amazing grace. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me repeat that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the news doesn't get any better. For the wages of sin are what?
Death.
That's why we're dead, because we are sinners, because we sin. Listen, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. If you think not, well, I'm going to give you a little example in just a moment. But let's look on quickly at verse number 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. News isn't getting any better, is it? Well, it does get better shortly, friends. The Bible says that we have wicked hearts. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says that the heart is a deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart of man? Listen, friends, just in case you're missing the point here, let me give you an example. If you take a baby rattlesnake and separate it from the other rattlesnakes, and you love it, and you're tender with it, and you keep it comfortable, and you make sure it's healthy, and you love that baby rattlesnake, when it grows up, what will it be? A big rattlesnake. Listen, guys, it will not be a bunny rabbit. Now, here's something Brother Davidson is going to learn with that brand new baby they have. That little bundle of joy that you have that is causing those rings around underneath your eyes right now, the little sleep deprivation I see in my brother, you will not have to teach that child how to sin. You will not have to teach that child how to be selfish, how to be rude. You will not have to teach that child how to walk over to a child that's never met in its life, smack it between the eyes and say, "That's mine." The heart is desperately deceitful above all things. But hallelujah, look at this. Continuing in chapter 2, beginning in verse 4 down through 5a. But God. Oh, hallelujah to that. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together by with Christ. Sorry about that. I almost had a big cough right there. But God has made us alive. What were we before? Christ, dead. What are we now with Christ? Alive. So let me give you another example here. You didn't seem all that impressed about the little rattlesnake story. Let me move on with something else. Have you ever been to a funeral? Of course you have. And there's a coffin right there in the front. Amen? There's a coffin. Well, let me ask you something. When someone dies, how can you raise a dead man? I trust you, if you go to a funeral these days, nobody's expecting that guy to get up and leave. But suppose you wanted to try. How about if you're a good example? Will that raise him? All right, buddy, now look at me. This is how you move your arm. This is how you walk. This is how you breathe. These are examples. Will that help raise them from the dead? No, of course not. Oh, well, what about encouragement? Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can get up out of that. Will that raise them from the dead? No. Well, what about if we change his environment? I'd like for the deacons to come forward. His problem is his environment. He's in a coffin. I'd like for the deacons to come forward. Brother Jim, Brother Roger, help this man out of the coffin and put him in the pew over here. Will that help raise him from the dead? No. Listen, friends. None of those will help raise him from the dead. And the Bible says that we are dead in sin, but God. But God, what can raise our hearts? Back in verse 5, by grace you have been saved. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together by Christ, with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We cannot save ourselves any more than a dead man can save themselves. Any more than I could do it by being an encouragement or an example or changing the environment. Only God can do that. We are not saved by the merit of man, but by the mercy of Almighty God. We are not saved by the goodness of man, but by the grace of Almighty God. Salvation is not a reward for the righteous. Salvation is a gift for the guilty. It's a gift for the guilty. That is what grace has done for us. Back over to the book of Titus, friends, and we're going to move along quickly now. Listen to me now. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, reading from the Word of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So not only do we see what grace has brought, salvation, that verse tells us now what grace has taught us, sanctification. Our second point today, what grace has taught is sanctification. Sanctification. Being saved by the grace of God does not mean that you can live any way you want. I spoke about this last week. It's not a license to say, whoa, I'm saved, I can go do what I want. You see, here's the point. When you get saved, you come out of law school. And you get to start going to grace school. You ever been to church and run into a bunch of legalistic people? Oh, don't get your spiritual faces on now. We all have, amen? We've all been there. We've all seen disapproving looks from folks in church. Listen, friends, when you are saved, get out of law school. Get out of the legalism. Get into grace school. Because grace school never closes. And the teacher, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, never fails to show up. There's a lot of homework to do for each one of us daily, amen? Matter of fact, this morning, have you had to extend grace to someone in your family? And all the moms said amen. In getting them little bundles of joy here this morning. In salvation, friends, there's nothing to earn, but there's all kinds of things to learn. Because a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be learning to live as you are supposed to live. Now that's the reason that none of us has our grace diploma yet. Are any of us there? Who's got their grace diploma sitting here in the sanctuary this morning? Where you've extended grace every single time. No, friends, there's not a one of us to say I've graduated for that. But do you know what else John Newton wrote? This is amazing. I found this and it was a blessing to me. He wrote, I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But thanks to the grace of God, I am not what I once was. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You see, God is still working on us, and we are growing in grace. We're growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So not only what grace brought, which was salvation, not only what grace has taught, which is sanctification, now we see what grace has sought, which is service. Service. Service to Almighty God. When Jamie gets up here as our worship leader, she's serving the Lord. When Andrew gets up here and plays the drum, he is serving the Lord. When GB and John Bell Jr. back there work on the audio, they are serving the Lord. When you come to church and you sit there and you're an encouragement to your pastor, you are serving the Lord. You serve Him in the high places. You serve Him in the public places. You serve Him in the quiet of night when you pray for people. Everyone needs the grace of God. We should all be committed to a life of service. We are never more like Jesus than when we are serving someone else. So what was our God thinking when He saved us by His grace? Look at verse 14. We're going to skip down to verse 14 right now. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. Watch this now. Zealous for good works. What does zealous mean? It means committed to it. Excited about it. Excited to serve the Lord. Not just going, well, it's Sunday morning, let's go to church. That's not what it's talking about. It's like jumping up and saying, hallelujah! This is the day the Lord has made. I can't wait to get to church. I know Pastor Larry, I know that guy, he's going to stumble going up to that altar. Or he might stumble coming down. I want to be there to see that. But I want to be there to see if he preaches Jesus like he always does. Amen? I want to see if he gets off message just once. If he tries to give some kind of feel-good message. I don't think that exists in me, but keep praying that it's not going to ever come. Amen? That's why God put me here in this church with you folks. Keep an eye on me. You'll notice, what did I say when we started this message? Get your Bibles out. Why do we do that? Because we want you to be aware of thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith Pastor Brister. When you go to a church service and the preacher is reading from the Bible, you should have your Bible open right in front of you. And if something doesn't mesh up on what he's saying with what the Word of God is saying, then get after the service. Go up and say, Pastor, I didn't quite get what you were talking about there. Can you explain that a little further for me? You see, that is what grace has sought. The service. You know, that's what God is in the business of doing. And we should be zealous for God. We are purchased. Did you know that? You have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what that word redeem means. We are purchased by the blood of Christ. We are also purified by the blood of Christ. Those of us that were sinful, let me just put it this way to you. With everything you may have done in your life, once you are saved, when the Lord looks at you, He sees His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He sees. If you are washed in the blood, you have been washed of all of your sins. Amen? Now we have to confess. We have to repent. We have to turn from those things. We need to live the godly life. But if we daily repent, if we daily confess our sins, He is faithful and true to forgive us. I have not found not one time in Scripture where somebody went to the Lord for seeking salvation, seeking redemption, that God did not extend it. Not once. So what is this? It means that we are different. For what reason? What does the grace-filled life seek? Service. Service to the Lord. Listen, Jesus did not purchase you with His blood for us to serve the Lord or to sit in church on our hands. Amen? I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. By the grace of God, we are His. By the grace of God, we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Service to Almighty God. Not only what grace has brought, which is salvation. Not only what grace has taught, which is sanctification. Not only what grace has sought, which is service. Oh, you wonder how I'm going to rhyme this one. What grace has wrought. Glorification. Glorification. Did you know? Look around the sanctuary here now. If you are the redeemed of God. If you are the redeemed of God. Look up here now. If you are the redeemed of God, what you look like now is not how you will look in heaven. I know that's hard to believe. I mean, after all, I don't know, what are you guys laughing about? Listen, guys, you cannot imagine what you're going to look like in glory. Picture this. Glorified mind, thinking of Christ. Glorified body, ready to serve and praise God. Glorified voices, singing to Almighty God. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Can you possibly imagine that? What it's going to sound like in heaven? I thought you guys sounded fantastic during worship this morning, but that is nothing compared to heaven. Nothing. Look at verse 13 now. Looking for the what? Blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What has grace wrought? A blessed hope. What was begun in grace in verse 11 will end in glory. Get that? What began in God's grace will end with you in glory. Hallelujah. Grace always ends in glory and the presence of God. We're all looking for Jesus to come again. Amen? Jesus could come back right now. If not right now, this very second, surely within the next 5 minutes. If not within the next 5 minutes, of course by the end of the service today. If not by the end of the service, perhaps we're on the way home. Wouldn't that make a mess on I-95? All of us on the way home through the turnpike or I-95, and the rapture happens. What will happen to your car? Let me ask you this. Do you really care? No, I don't care. Here's what they're going to find in my car. There's nobody here. There's a Bible here. That's what I want. Which is why, in my Bible, when you open up the very front of it, it tells you, turn to page 1020. And it walks them through salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, after I'm gone, praising God in glory, I want my Bible to serve as a witness to whoever finds it. Amen? Grace always, always, always ends in the glory of God. You know, the world is in a mess, and contrary to what people may think, it's not getting any better, by the way. In fact, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Have you been watching the news lately? Try not to do that. Hallelujah. Especially on Sunday morning before you come to service. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Write this in your margin. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If in this world only we have hope, we're of all men most what? Miserable. Don't have hope in the world. But thank God to those of us that are saved that we can look beyond a hole in the ground. Thank God for us that are saved. We can look beyond our current physical infirmities or the things that are bothering us in this life. Listen, friends, I'm not looking for an undertaker in this life. I'm looking for an uppertaker. I'm looking for my God to bring me into His presence. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed hope that we just saw in verse 13. I'm not going to be gone. I'm just going to be delivered somewhere else. I'm going to change my address, as the Reverend Billy Graham said. I'll still be alive and well. I tell the children that all the time in children's church, that you may hear someday that Pastor Larry has died. Don't you believe it for a second. I'm walking the streets of glory. I'm singing hallelujah. I'm praising His mighty name. You see, this blessed hope, it's a glad hope, it's a glorious hope, it's a blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. Now listen, I would have loved to have been there. Listen to me, guys. I would have loved to have been there when the Lord Jesus was on the earth. Now I know for all these theologians that may be listening in, it's better, believe it or not, that we are here now than then. Because they had Jesus beside them, we have Jesus inside of us. Amen? They had Jesus beside them, we have Jesus inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. Now I know that. But I would have loved to have walked with Him. I would have loved to have talked with Him. I think it would make me a better preacher if I'd seen Him on the cross and then seen Him resurrected. I'm sure it would. You know, we're about to close this message. I didn't see Jesus back in those times, but folks, if Jesus Christ were physically in ISIS territory right now, I would find a way to get there. I don't know how I'd do it, but I would. I would do anything to look upon His face. But 1 second after the rapture, or 1 second after I close my eyes for the last time here on earth, I will look into the face of my Jesus. If you have a loved one, I want you to know that they are not dead. If they're redeemed of God, they may not be here, but they're alive and well in heaven. Amen? You see, Jesus came the first time and He gave Himself for us. That's verse 14. But He's coming back a second time to rule and to reign over us. Jesus is coming. Do you have that hope? Do you have that hope in your heart that Christ is coming back for you? Does Christ live in your heart? Because that's the only way you're going to make it into heaven. Friends, I was saved when I was very young. But I didn't live for Christ for a large section of my life. I went into the army. That's not exactly, I'm one of those point of the spear guys. That's not exactly a place that renders itself to godly living. And I am backslidden in the worst way possible. And one day, Miss Ruth Ann told me, you know, I don't care what you do. We've got one car. And you can go do whatever you want with your buddies on Sunday morning, but I'm going to use that car and I'm going to church. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to badger you. I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to church. You can go do what you want. You know, she didn't. She didn't badger me. She didn't bother me. That is so aggravating. Nothing worse than a good example. Amen. And finally, one Sunday morning, I said, all right, I'll go, but I'm not going to that Sunday school thing. And I went and I hid in like the back corner. I'm not using this as an object example, guys. In the very furthest part of the church. And when the offering plate would come out, so would I. And I try to make it out that little door. There's a little cubby hole in the back of that sanctuary. But one Sunday morning, Kelly Hahn, sweet, sweet Kelly Hahn, stood on that stage and sang, "How Great Thou Art." And it pierced me to my heart. And right there, I dropped to my knees and rededicated my life solely to Christ, to service and to serve Him. Now, I made a bit of a mess because everybody else that sat back in that section were trying to get through that little door. And I had it blocked. But I had it blocked for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Listen, friends. When you remember who you are, you cannot help but look forward to seeing His glory. You cannot help but do that. It was the message of grace that brought me there. Oh Lord my God, how great Thou art. Verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." What has grace brought? Salvation. What has it taught? Sanctification. What has grace sought? Service. But what has grace wrought? Glorification. One day we will all be in heaven. Glorified. I'll have nice dark hair. Like Pastor Ivan. I'll be much thinner. Like Pastor Ivan. I'll be much better looking. Like Pastor Ivan. Matter of fact, I got problems with you. What has grace wrought? Glorification. One day, we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says so. That's right. We will look right in the face of the one that saved us by His grace. And the very same one who opened to us the gates of grace into His heaven. What will He do? He will open to us the gates of glory. We'll walk the streets of gold. That is amazing grace. That is the amazing grace of God. That is the gifts of the grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Lord Jesus, I see You with my heart. I see You with my soul. And Lord Jesus, I want anyone here, anyone watching on the internet, anyone listening to an audio of this that has never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, I want them to receive Him today. Why? Because I want you to know the grace that has saved me. I want you to know the grace of God that has fulfilled my life. And all God's people said,
amen.
Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to you now for just a moment. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You. None like You. Into the darkness You shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like You. None like You. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Into the darkness You shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like You. None like You. you. Our God is greater.